Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Amen. How many of y'all appreciated those words from your pastor tonight? You are a blessed people. Yes, you are. And I so much appreciate having a good friend as your pastor, and I highly respect him and esteem his position, his belief, his burden, his conviction, and I really, really appreciate his friendship and fellowship. And you know, you're blessed to have a man of God like this. And I'll tell you, the reason why is because he's a pastor after pastor according to God's own heart. And a pastor according to God's own heart is able to preach to the congregation the very things you need to hear to be saved. Amen. There's too many churches where the pastor's just sermonizing. Amen. I think that there are churches, when God leaves the church, I believe what happens is the message leaves the church. They don't hear what they need to hear to be saved. Attitudes aren't dealt with. Sin isn't dealt with. Amen. When I say you are hearing what you need to hear to be saved, you're hearing the very word that you personally need to hear to make heaven your home. Hallelujah. That's how you know that God still loves the church. That God is still in the church. Amen. Now, any charismatic church can worship, run the aisles, and leap and dance and shout. Amen. But they're not getting the word they need to hear to be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. And not only that, but God sends men here to preach the word that you need to hear to be saved. They're not tickling your ear. They're not preaching for entertainment. They're not preaching something they think you would like. But they hear from God and preach what you need to hear to be saved. Hallelujah. That's not happening in every church. Amen. Matter of fact, I preached a message here years ago called The Flock of Thy Companions. Amen. And what that is that's the church of somebody's delusion. Amen. In other words, they don't like it here. They go to another church and they get what they want to hear. And that becomes their delusion. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That God will send them a strong delusion to make them believe a lie. Amen. And so they're not hearing what they need to hear to be saved. They're hearing what they want to hear. Hallelujah. And that's a big difference, I'm telling you. Amen. So you ought to thank God every day that you're in a church where you're hearing the word of God that you need to hear to be saved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to just sing one song tonight, and I want to get into the word of the Lord. But this song I'm going to sing, we sang it at PATH last year, and some of y'all saw that Sister Melissa Gayton is on our new CD, and she is the one that led this song last year at PATH. And so I'm just saying that because when I sing it, I'm not going to sound like her. Hallelujah. So if you want to hear somebody do it real good by the CD, amen, she's on there and she does it real good. So I'm going to sing the song. I can sing it, but it's got good words to it,
You know, a lot of people don't talk about heaven too much. But that's our one of our main goals is we want to make heaven our home. I want to walk the streets of gold. Amen. I want to see Him as He is. Praise the Lord. I want to go to that great city. Amen. Called Jerusalem. Amen. Y'all worship the Lord tonight. for today. It's early, yet it's late. Amen. But if I was unclear tonight on what direction to go and what to preach, I probably wouldn't preach tonight. But when I prayed this morning, and seeking the Lord and asking God what to do for tonight's service, God really jolted me with this message this morning. And it just hit me in prayer. And, and when that happens, you know that God's got something, direct. He's got something special. He's got something, when you get direction that way, praise the Lord, then, it kind of makes it easy. Amen. Because you know what direction God wants to go. And so tonight, I'm preaching this tonight because God really, really hit me with this in prayer this morning. And so I believe that he wants me to preach this tonight. Amen. And I don't know why. All right. But I know I heard from God this morning on this. Amen. And so you don't think of reasons why to preach something. But when God just hits you with something, amen, you've got to go with it. Amen. You've got to go with it. So let's all stand and let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 21. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 21. I hope God doesn't let me be long tonight. It shouldn't take long to get this across. Amen. And however God wants to do it, praise the Lord. But like Brother Garza said, we're in no hurry tonight. Amen. We're in no hurry. I know we had a great move of God tonight, and thank God for it. Amen. But God's not finished. Amen. God is not through. Is anybody hungry for the word of the Lord tonight? Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1. Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered it. It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now, the Gibeonites were not the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, what ye shall say, that will I do for you. And they answered the king, the man that consumed us and devised us, that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, whom she bare unto Saul, and Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michael, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Mahoathite. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord, and they fell all 7 together, and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the days in the beginning of barley harvest. Amen. And after this was done, in verse 14, the last part it says, and after that, God was entreated for the land. It took care of the famine. Amen. I want to preach tonight on this thought. Amen. Living in the king's house without a covenant with the king. Living in the king's house without a covenant with the King. Amen. Brother Garza, would you pray? Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. There was a famine in the land in the days of David, and this famine lasted for 3 years. And so David inquired of the Lord about it, you know, why the famine was in the land. And God said it was because of Saul, who slew the Gibeonites. Amen. Now, the children of Israel had made a covenant with the Gibeonites. And that was when Joshua took over. Amen. And after they had destroyed Jericho and the wall came down and they destroyed Jericho, these men who were Gibeah and the Amorites, they heard about all that the children of Israel were doing. And so they dressed themselves up in old clothes. Amen. They got old bottles of wine. They got, you know, worn out shoes. And it made it look like they were coming from a far, far country. And they journeyed for a long, long time. Amen. And so they came to Joshua and said, you know, we have heard about all that you've done. And we've come from a very far country. And so we wanted to make a covenant with you because, you know, they didn't want to be destroyed. Amen. But they found out later, after making a covenant with them, and I made note that the Bible said there when Joshua made a covenant with them, that Joshua and Israel did not inquire of the Lord about it. Amen. They didn't pray about it. They just went ahead and made the covenant with them without inquiring of the Lord. Amen. And then later on, they found out that they weren't from a far, far country, but they were their neighbors. Amen. They were right next to them. Amen. But because of the covenant sake that they had made, they kept it. Amen. And they kind of made them slaves in the temple of God. Amen. And so this covenant that they made, amen, the children of Israel honored it, and God honored it. Amen. But Saul, when he became king, amen, and he turned bad, he broke that covenant by slaying the Gibeonites. Amen. So David called the Gibeonites and asked, what shall I do for you? The Gibeonites did not request money, but they requested 7 sons of Saul, the man that consumed them, that they would hang them up unto the Lord. Amen. So now the sons that I want to talk about tonight are the 5 sons of Michal. Amen. Michal was the wife of David. Amen. I want to talk about her 5 sons tonight. Amen. But before I do, let's talk about Michal herself. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 18 and beginning at verse number 19, I'm just going to take my time and build this tonight a little bit. But in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 19, amen, it said, but it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, amen, the Maholite, to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. Amen. And so he, David, was given Saul's daughter, Michal, to wife after he defeated Goliath and after he slew 200 Philistines. Amen. Now, Michal was not the daughter that was to be given to him. Amen. But the daughter that was supposed to be given to him was given to Adriel. Amen. And when Saul found out that Michal loved David, amen, that Saul wanted to give her to David, knowing and hoping that she would be a snare to him because Saul knew how Michal was. Amen. But we find out, amen, in chapter 19, praise the Lord, in verse 11, it says, Saul also sent messengers
his messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michael, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michael let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michael took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he is sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michael, why hast thou deceived me so and sent away my enemy that he has escaped? And Michael answered Saul, he said unto me, let me go, why should I kill thee? Amen. So here we see how Michael saved David's life because she loved him. Amen. She loved David. It made Saul very angry as he asked her, why have you deceived me and allowed my enemy to escape? Amen. And so Saul was giving Michael to David because he thought that Michael would be a snare for him. Amen. And that it would allow Saul to eventually slay him, or it would cause David to slip and mess up. But it didn't happen that way because Michael loved David. Amen. She loved him and protected him and saved his life because of her love for him. Amen. Now she really loved David. Now, I want to tell you something. When you really love somebody, hallelujah, that in itself could almost change you. You know that? Because she had a bad spirit. She had a bad attitude. That's the way she was. But because she really loved her husband, amen, all David saw was the good side of her. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, somehow I think that if we really fall in love with Jesus, amen, it could take care of a whole lot of problems, amen, that we have with our attitude and spirit. Oh, hallelujah. If you really fall in love with your husband, you really fall in love with your wife, and you love them dearly, hallelujah, you know, that would take care of a lot of arguments and a lot of fighting and a lot of marriage problems. Amen. Here we see this woman, amen, amen, that Saul knew that she had issues. Saul knew she had problems. But because she loved David so much, hallelujah, she loved him. She protected him. She saved his life. Amen. She was precious to him. Amen. That's what love can do. Hallelujah. Amen. Love is a very powerful thing. Amen. And when you really, really love, amen, with the love of God, can nothing beat that. Amen. Because you see, you can't fake love. You can't put on love. Because God is love. And when you get real love down deep in your heart, no wonder the Bible says love can cover a multitude of sin. You know why? Because God is love. Hallelujah. Oh, and when you have the love of God down deep in your heart, amen, that can take care of a lot of things. Amen. And we see here in this relationship, because she loved David, amen, then she was not the woman that Saul thought she would be. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, but eventually, Michael was taken away from David and given to Fultai. Amen. But after David became king, he requested Michael to come back to him as his wife. Amen. He said, hey, go get me my wife, Michael. I want her back. Amen. It's kind of sad because if you ever read that, when he went to get Michael, take her away from Fultai, he's falling behind her. Oh, no, no, no. He's falling behind her crying, no. He wants his wife back. Hallelujah. But that's David's wife. Hallelujah. And so, I feel sorry for the guy. Yeah, read it. And he's talking about, oh. Yeah, somebody come take your wife. You can feel that way too. But David wanted his wife back. Give me Michael's back. She was good to me. She loved me. She protected me. She saved my life. Yeah, he wanted her back. Amen. Now, but when she came back to David, it was a little different now. Amen. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, in verse 16, it says, "And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself.'" Amen. And we know that David said, "Hey, if God puts it on me, amen, I would do even more, amen, unto the Lord." He said, because it was unto the Lord. Amen. But you see, guess what? She had a change of attitude. She had a change of spirit. Amen. Now David was despised in her heart. And the Bible said that Michal, amen, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. God closed her womb. Amen. What changed her? I'll tell you what changed her. What changed her was that when she got taken from David and given to Foltai, amen, Saul no doubt poisoned her with his hatred for David. Amen. All Saul could talk about was how David was his enemy and how that David was going to take the throne away, amen, from Jonathan. Amen. How David was this and David was that. Amen. I want to tell you something. Praise God. Amen. That's why you don't need to hang around backsliders. That's why you don't need to hang around people that have left this church. Amen. And talk bad about the pastor and bad about the church. Amen. Because it will poison you. Amen. It will fill you with that evil, wicked spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You don't need to sympathize, amen, with people that leave this church without the pastor's blessing. Amen. You don't need to sympathize with them. Most of the time, you don't know the whole story. You don't know everything. Amen. They may have been used. They may have been somebody that most people highly esteem. But if they left this church, amen, and now they backslid, or they're going somewhere else, and they are against the pastor, against the church, against the man of God, don't sympathize with them. Amen. Don't you pity them. I'm telling you why. Because you don't know the whole story, but the pastor does. And God does. And they're not leaving, praise God, with a good spirit, and they're not okay. Hallelujah. I've seen it to where that when people leave a church and they start hanging around people like that, their demeanor, when they come back to church, their demeanor changes. They start finding fault. You see, that's what Michal did. Michal started finding fault with David. Amen. You see, she loved him at first. But now when she came back to him, it wasn't there anymore. Why? Because all of the things that she heard about David. You know, let me tell you something tonight. Amen. If you go home and you talk to your lost loved ones and you talk to them bad about this church, they ain't gonna want to come here. When you talk about, amen, negative about this church in any way, they're not going to want to come here. Amen. Yeah, you're praying for them. Oh, pray for my lost loved ones. Pray for my son. Pray for my daughter. Pray for my husband. Pray for my wife. Pray,
church, but yet when you go home, you tell them all the stuff going on. You tell them everything you don't like, what's going on. Amen. They're not going to want to come here. Why should they want to come to this church? Amen. Why? You know, I want to tell you something. Hey, if you're here, you need to love this church. You need to love your man of God. You need to love every brother and every sister that's in this church. And when you love it, you're going to speak well of it. Ah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You're not going to put it down. You're not going to put the pastor down. You're not going to put your brother or your sister down. Amen. They don't need to know all of the stuff that's going on in this church. What's going on in this church needs to stay in this church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so that's why Michael was all messed up. Amen. When she came back to David, because Saul poisoned her with his hatred and bitterness against David. Amen. Now, first she despised David as he danced before the ark of the Lord. Amen. And God closed her womb because of it. Amen. Because you know why? Because he knew what spirit that was that spoke against David. You got to be careful the things that you say. Because if it comes from a spirit of hatred, if it comes from a spirit of bitterness, if it comes from something down deep inside, resentment and all of that, you got to be careful what you say. Because God's going to count that against you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know it's a little different than last night, but I'm still going somewhere with this. Praise God. Amen. And so, God closed her womb. God cursed her. Amen. One of the greatest curses back in the Bible days at that time is that a woman could not have a child. Amen. And Michael was so. These five sons that she had, that she raised up, amen, was because, hallelujah, because her sister died, and she raised up these five sons. She was their aunt. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, because she had no children herself. But I want you to understand tonight, where did she raise these five sons? She raised these five sons in the king's house. Amen. That's where she raised them. Amen. And when the Gibeonites, praise God, were given seven sons, five of them came from these five sons of Michael. Amen. David said no to Mephibosheth because of the oath between him and Jonathan. But here we have five sons living in the king's house, but obviously there was no relationship, no father-son relationship between David and the five sons. Because if there was, David would have spared them also. He would have spared these five sons. But because Michael's spirit and attitude, she did not want David to have any influence on those five sons. Living in the king's house, but no covenant, no relationship with the king. Isn't that something? Here she is in the king's house, raising these five boys with David there all the time. But you know what she did? She kept them away from David. She didn't want David to have no influence on them. Amen. She would tell them, "You're Saul's sons. You're Saul's sons." She would tell them, "You know what? David is not your father. Saul is your grandfather. Saul is the one who you look up to. Saul is the one who was the first king of Israel." Amen. And here David was a man after God's own heart. Here David was a man that was chosen, called of God. Amen. Here David was a man, hallelujah, that through choose seven sons, he chose the five boys in his own house. Y'all get that? The five boys in his own house that he sees every day, running around playing and all of that. But Michael keeps them away. Why? Because of her bitterness, because of her hatred, because she's carrying around Saul's spirit. She's carrying around Saul's spirit. Amen. Living in the king's house, but no covenant, no relationship with the king. She would rather have those five sons be identified with Saul, her father, than David, her husband. She wanted those sons to be Saul's sons rather than David's sons. Living in the king's house, but no covenant with the king. When you raise your children in church, you want them to be identified with Jesus. You want them to be identified with the king. Amen. You don't want them to be identified with the stars of this world. Amen. We don't want them to be like the movie stars. We don't want them to be like the singers. Amen. There should be no Justin Bieber posters in their bedroom. Amen. There don't need to be no worldly singer poster. Amen. There should be no magazines coming from the world into their possession. You want them identified with King Jesus. You want them identified with you. You want them to have influence from the king. Why? Because you're raising them in the king's house. Hallelujah. Amen. How many children do we see grow up and backslide? Because you want them to be identified with children in school somewhere. You want them to be identified with children in the world. You would much rather have your ungodly backslid, no good, amen, relative have an influence on them. Raised up in church, raised up in the king's house, but no covenant, no relationship with the king.
You may be seated. Amen. Want them to be identified. Amen. With the athletes in the world. Sneaking around. You know, thank God you got a church school here. Amen. Thank God you do. Amen. But there's a lot of churches that don't. And the influence in school is major when it's public school. Amen. And I see it in our own church many times. Amen. That parents in church would much rather have their young people around children in school than the children in church. They would much rather them fellowship, amen, a relative that's not saved, than the children in church, than the young people in church. Amen. When you have a youth fellowship, do you keep your children away? Do you keep your youth away from fellowship? Amen. No. You know what? Tell you something. Amen. Yeah, punish them. But don't, when you punish them, don't keep them away from church activities. Don't keep them away from church youth functions. Amen. Don't keep them away from church youth conferences that the church is doing. That's not how you punish your children. They need that meeting. They need that prayer meeting. They need that fellowship. But you see, you know, you think you're doing them a good punishment. You think you're really getting to them when you say, no, you can't go to that youth fellowship. You didn't do your homework. No, you're going to stay home and do your homework. Well, yeah, they need to do that homework, but you know what? They need fellowship more. Yeah, that's how you raise them up in the king's house, and they don't have no relationship. No relationship with the young people. No relationship with the children. But they got a closer relationship with their ungodly cousins.
Uh-huh. Now, y'all get what I'm preaching tonight? Living in the king's house, but no relationship. No covenant with the king. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, you would rather have them playing with
ungodly children, ungodly young people. Huh? You rather them fellowship youth in other churches rather than the youth here. Oh, God, help me, Lord. You know, I want to tell you something. God wants you to be one right here. You need unity. And in order to have unity, you need fellowship. This good man of God, he understands fellowship. That's why I don't know if you still have it, but on Monday nights you have outdoor fellowship. I don't know if y'all still do that. He understands the importance of fellowship. Praise the Lord. You need to be here. You need the fellowship. Don't punish your young people and your children by keeping them away from fellowship. Don't punish your children, hallelujah, keeping them away from youth functions and children functions and youth meetings and conferences. No, don't do that. You're doing them a disfavor. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, it's like parents in the church. They don't want their pastor, the preacher, to correct their kids. They don't want the pastor to influence their kids. You know, leave my kids alone. Those are my kids. You're raising them up in the king's house with no influence, with no covenant, no relationship. You ought to want your pastor to preach to your kids and correct your kids. You ought to make him feel real comfortable in being able to do it. You ought to say, hey, if my child, if my young person is messing up in any way, pastor, I want you to know you got the right, hallelujah, and I want you to know you got the right from me to correct them, preach to them, rebuke them, reprove them, whatever it takes, save my child. Amen. Because if you don't want the pastor, you know, here's the thing. Praise God. A lot of parents, they want to take up for their children no matter what. Their children will lie, and they're going to believe their children over an adult. Oh, you better be careful how you favor your children and favor your youth. Amen. And realize, hey, yeah, your child, well, it took a long time for a young lady in our church to realize her son was a liar. And she always believed him. Amen. Whenever he would supposedly get in trouble, amen, in school or in church, she always believed until finally she realized her son was a liar. Children know how to lie. And if you want to take up for them all the time, then you're going to believe their lie. And you know what? They're not going to have the right kind of influence. They're not going to have the right kind of relationship. They're not going to have what it takes being raised up in church.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Living in the king's house with no relationship with the king. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, you ought to teach your children to respect adults. Amen. You know, when we were in church, praise the Lord, I want to tell you something. You got to know that you're loved in this church. You see, if you think the church don't love you, the church don't like you, you feel like the church got something against you, then you know what? That causes you to isolate yourself. And then if your children do anything wrong or anything bad, you're going to think it's the church against you. Because the church is against me, because the church don't like me. Hallelujah. Oh, no. That's not the way it is. The church loves you. This man of God loves you. He wants to see you live right and do right. Don't you let the devil lie to you and tell you the church don't love you. People in here don't love you. People in here don't like you. That's a lie from the pits of hell. It will cause you to get offended. It will cause you to get, amen, something down in your heart. Amen, against people in the church. Amen. And you can't be saved that way. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by your love one for the other.
Hallelujah. Well, don't you, when you feel that way, and whenever your kids do something, you're going to take up for them just like that. Why? Because they don't like my kids. They don't like me. They don't like my wife. They don't like my husband. And so you're going to take up for your kids, and you're going to withdraw them and pull them back. And before you know it, they're going to be raised up in church and have no relationship with the King. Hallelujah. My. Praise God. You want to make sure that your children, your young people, greet your pastor. Greet their pastor. That's your pastor. That's your man of God. That's your man of God. You listen to everything he says. Praise God. You know what else you can do to cause your children to be raised up in church and never have a relationship or covenant? You talk bad about the church in front of your children. You talk bad about the church in front of your kids and your young people. Amen. You're poisoning them. You know that? Do you know that you're poisoning them? Do you know that you're putting resentment in them against the church, against the house of God, and against the man of God, and against people in the church? Amen. When you talk bad about the church on the way home, and the kids are hearing everything you're saying, you're poisoning them. You're poisoning them. You're doing what Saul did to Michael. Mm-hmm. And then we wonder, where did we go wrong with our children? Where did we go wrong? We stayed in church. And we raised them up in church. They've been here all these years. Yeah, but did you allow them to have a relationship with the King? Did you allow them to have a relationship with the man of God? Did you allow the man of God to preach to them and correct them and instruct them and reprove them? Did you allow that? Or did you withdraw them? Or did you have the attitude and spirit, amen, leave my kids alone? Oh, y'all know this is the truth. And that's the reason why, amen, you got to make sure, hallelujah, that they know who the pastor is, who the man of God is, and that they highly respect him, that they highly respect the teachers in school, they highly respect every Sunday school teacher, they highly respect every adult. Now, don't you ever talk back to an adult. Don't you ever get smart aleck with an adult. You understand that adult is older than you, and you respect them because they know more than you. And young people, when you get a teenager, amen, that don't mean that you know everything now. That don't mean that you know more than your parents. Let me tell you something. You'll never know more than your parents know. I don't care what it is, that some information or whatever it is you may find out your parents didn't know. That'll put you over your parents in no way, no how. Don't argue. Don't fuss back to you with your parents. If you want to live long on this earth, you honor your mother, you honor your father, and your life may be long on the earth. The worst thing you can do is rise up against your parents. The worst thing you can do is rise up against your mother or your father. The worst thing you can do is rise up against an adult. Amen. You may see it. Had to sit down a few of my children. And I had to talk to them straight with their parents sitting right there.
I'm sorry, but they talk back to their parents, talk back smart aleck way. They lie, and all of that. And I tell them, you know what? You're stupid. You're stupid if you think you know more than your parents. That's what I told them. You're stupid. You're dumb. You ain't got no sense. Oh, yeah, I talk to them like I talk to them straight, right in front of their parents. So you ain't got no sense at all. I tell them, I say, you know what? You know, Brother Carlson was there, David Carlson, a preacher of revival. And I had to counsel one of these children at the church. And he held up some type of magazine or newspaper with profiles on it of criminals. And he read who they were and so on. And I said, did you see what Brother Carlson held up? I said, you know who they were? Yeah, they were criminals. Yeah. You know, there's warrants out for their arrest. You know what? Because they're criminals. They're bad. And I said, you know what? I said, the way you're acting, I said, you know what? When they were kids, they acted like you. They disrespected their parents. You see, they rebelled against their parents. You see, they rose up against them and they went out and did their own thing, you know. You know, they would fight in school and they would do all that. And you see where they wind up? I said, that's the road you're headed down. You're headed down that same road because they act like you and you act like them and you're going to wind up just like them. Oh, yeah. You're going to wind up just like them. That's what I told him. Amen. I thank God he got his attention. Because he's been acting pretty good here lately. And so is the other one. I told him, you're stupid. Say, you're dumb. I said, you don't know nothing. Do you know? I said, you're a kid. You're a 12-year-old kid. You don't know nothing. You understand that? You're a 12-year-old kid. I don't care what you find or what you see or what you may come home and find out something your parents didn't know. You know, they don't know. You're not smarter than your parents. You don't know more than your parents. I said, don't you ever talk back to them. Amen. And I said it with their parents sitting right there. Praise the Lord. And they didn't say, don't you talk to my child that way. No, they understood they needed to be talked to that way. You know why? They get influence from the pastor. They get in a relationship with the pastor. They get in a covenant with the man of God in the king's house. In the king's house. I want them to have a relationship with the man of God. I want them to know that's the man of God. We got to hear him to be saved.
Hallelujah. Amen. Because you don't want uncle, aunt, grandfather, grandmother having a greater influence on your kids than the man of God. That are not saved. Amen. And even if they are saved, and even if they do go to this church, you teach them, yeah, you respect them. Hallelujah. But you know what? But if they start talking bad about the church, they start talking bad about the pastor, I don't care if it is your relative. I don't care if it is. You know what? Hey, you know what you need to do? You need to come tell the man of God. My grandfather's talking bad to the children about you and the church. My aunt, my uncle, they're poisoning my children, Pastor. You need to know this. Rather than, oh, I can't say nothing. That's my relative. Oh, I can't say nothing. And so what's going to happen? Your child's going to raise up. When they get 18, they're gone. Uh-huh. You know why? Because you'd rather protect your bad-spirited, bad attitude, full of the devil relative.
that protect your child so it can have the right influence and be saved. I think I can preach this way at this church. Is this all right, Brother Garza? Can I preach? I think I preached here long enough that I can preach like this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Living in the King's house. Do you have a relationship with the King? Do you have a relationship with the man of God? I'm almost through. Praise the Lord. Amen. They don't want their daughters to be like the pastor's wife. But they want them looking worldly. Want them looking like a harlot. Want them looking like the carnal saint in the church. Or want them to look like the youth in another church. That's too old-fashioned for us. Sister Garza, she's too old-fashioned. Oh, I see some looks. Ooh. Yeah, I need to shake that bush. Hallelujah. That's too old-fashioned. Hairdo's too old-fashioned. Huh? Clothes are too old-fashioned. And, you know, I know a young person wants to look like a young person. I understand that, but you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You gotta understand where you're getting your style from. Amen. There's, you know, I've dealt with this in our church. Yeah, you know. There's youth conferences and youth meetings that you can go to, and boy, you see this and you see that, and that looks cool. And that looks neat. Huh? I forgot the other word they use. Man, what's the other word they use? Praise the Lord. I can't think of it, but amen. Another word that they like to use. Praise God. Amen. That when they see a fashion they like. Now, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Okay. I'm going to say it. Hallelujah. You know, the harlots of Pentecost. The harlots of Pentecost, they have a, you know, the harlots in the world, they have a dress style, don't they? You can tell that's a harlot, right? Okay, well, there's harlots in Pentecost. They dress to get the attention of guys. And because they dress that way, you know, so in other words, they can't walk in, you know, looking like a real harlot in the world, so they got to walk in and look as close to it as they can. And yet be at the borderline standard. So the dress is as short as they can be. Just barely below the knee. As tight as it can get. Form fit. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, and their top has got to be as tight as it can be. And like to wear the belt way up here so it can, you know, you get it? Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Because they know the dresses and skirts and blouses, amen, that causes those parts of the body, amen, to just kind of show a little bit more, you know. But yet it's long sleeve. Uh-huh. It's a dress. It's a skirt. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. But you see, but they look in the mirror. And they stand in there. Stand this way. And they make expressions. And they, you know, they turn the head and which ways, and you know, they want to see if the hairdo moves this way or that way. Vanity, vanity. That's a spirit. That's a whore spirit. That's a harlot spirit.
no covenant, no influence from the pastor's wife. Well, she's quiet. She says, cigars, this, cigars, that. Yep. And your daughters are hearing it. What's quiet now? You can be seated. I'm trying to close. I'm trying to quit. And the thing is that, you see, those fashions and styles from other churches with the hairdos and the Michael Jackson curls and, you know, and all that stuff. Yeah, the hairstyles and everything, you know, that, you know, there's a spirit about that, that sensuality and that sensual spirit, you see, that's what the liberal churches, you see, they just throb in that. They just throb in that. You know, the guys come with their spiked hair, with their black shirts and black shiny pants, and you know, and they, you know, walk in with the tight jackets on, and yeah, the straight leg tight pants. And now I'm gonna Pentecost. Amen. Playboys. I'll tell you something. You know what? Praise God. If my daughter was looking for a man, a young man, you know what I tell her to look for? Now, this is what I tell her to look for, okay? This don't mean you got to be this way, but this is what I tell her to look for. You look for somebody that comes to church with a white shirt and a tie and a suit. Amen. And when they worship God, they're out there worshiping. They're running the aisles. They're doing everything. Shirt tail hanging out. They're on time for prayer. Doing prayer. They're praying. Hallelujah. Now that's not even the standards of my church. They don't all have to wear white shirts. But you know what? I want my daughter to get somebody special. I want her to get somebody special. Now, I'm not saying that you're not special. I'm not saying that. Okay? All right? Don't get me wrong. All right? Hallelujah. But hey, I want something special for my son. I want something special for my daughter. So I got a high standard. Hallelujah. When it comes to that. Amen. Because you know why? I don't want them to marry no dingbat. Okay, y'all know where I got that word from then. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Are y'all getting what I'm preaching tonight? Yeah, you know, boy, I tell you what, it is something when you look at little boys growing up, boy, they are front, boy, they're looking at the pastor. They want to be like the pastor. Boy, the boys that walk around, ooh, they're looking up, boy, man. Oh, I want to be like Jared on the drums, man. I want to be like Joel on the piano. Ooh, I want to be like the pastor. The little boys, you know. Amen, with their suits, boy, their shirts, their white. They want to be like the pastor. Well, they get older. Something happens. It's like, oh, wait a minute, that ain't cool. And they start looking at other young people. They start looking at, oh, okay, look at that style. Oh, okay, well, the girls seem to like that, huh? Oh, and things start changing. Is this making sense tonight? Y'all getting this? Now, I watch our little boys. Boy, yeah, buddy, they're all into it, man. Boy, they'll get something look like a microphone and they're preaching. And, you know, little kids playing church. Little kids playing church and all that. But when they get older, they don't want to play church no more. Losing the influence. Losing the
dropping it, losing the relationship. Huh? Why? Because they're getting attention from elsewhere. And if you're not careful where your children are getting attention and where they're getting influence, then you could lose them. You could lose them. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let me move on. Praise the Lord. What about you? Are you living in the king's house but don't have a relationship with him? Would you rather be like the world? Would you rather be identified with the rebellious and the ungodly? Who are you fellowshipping? Who you like to be with? And I want to tell you something. We got a group, and these things you got to work on in church. Boy, I tell you what, they're close-knit, and they like to talk about everything going on in the church. Everything going on. And when my wife comes around, they get quiet. I'll call you when I get home. Like my wife don't get it. I'll text you later. Like my wife don't get it. Uh-huh. Is that the people you're hanging around? Is that the people you like to fellowship and talk with? Huh? You want to be identified with the carnal people of Pentecost? You'd rather be rebellious and do your own thing like those that have backslid and left for carnal liberal churches? You want to be like them? It's time to be like the king, church. It's time to be identified with him. Listen or obey the man of God. Obey the pastor and pick out the spiritual ones in the church, hallelujah, that you want to be like. Amen. Make sure, praise God, amen, that you're identified with the king in his house. You'll be protected. You'll be kept. You'll be saved. You'll give favor, hallelujah. Amen. God cursed Michael. Amen. Because of her attitude against the king. And then she had five boys raised up in the house, but would not let them get influenced by the king. Let's all stand. Would not let them get any influence by the king. Can you imagine that? David's around all the time when he's not out fighting and battling. Right there, there's five boys growing up. David, warrior. David, man after God's own heart. David, chosen of God. David, a man whose seed is going to produce the Messiah. David, one of God's favorites. David, whose God's hand is on throne in a mighty way. But Michael's attitude and spirit got so bad that she missed it. And a lot of times, your spirit, your judgment, and your attitude can cause you to miss the great influence that the church can have on your children. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Michael, what are you doing? That's David. And now because you wouldn't let David have any influence on your children, when it came time for the Gibeonites to get seven sons, he chose the very five that were raised up in the house of the king to be given over to be hung. That's what we're doing to our children if we don't let them have a covenant, a relationship, and influence in the house of the king. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's so important. There's so much in your interest to make sure they have influence in the house. Hallelujah. Or else the enemy is going to pick them out. The enemy is going to pick them out Because you know why? They'll be left unprotected. When they have influence from the king, influence from the church, influence from the adults, influence from the man of God, and the man of God's wife, they're protected. You hear that? They're protected. God's going to say, devil, you can't have them. Hallelujah. But when you leave them out and you withhold fellowship and you withdraw them, you don't let influence affect them in the house, they're left unprotected. And that's when the enemy swoops in and says, give me that son. Give me that daughter. Hallelujah. Anybody want your children, your young people protected in the house tonight? Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands to the Lord right now. I'm through. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.